You are Locked On College Football, your daily podcast on all things college football. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Locked On College Football Podcast. We have changed it up. We have the man, the myth, the legend. Jay Stevens is now the co-host on the Locked On College Football Podcast with me, Andrew Wade, host of Locked On Hawkeyes. That's right. You got Locked On Buckeyes. You got Locked On Hawkeyes. We're covering everything around the college football landscape. Jay, how are you doing today, man?
I'm doing well. The man, the myth, the legend. I like the intro, and I'm glad to be with you here with you, Andrew. Man, let's have some fun.
Yeah, man, I had to like spice it up a little bit. Usually when I'm joining podcasts, it's usually with Ben Stevens of Locked On Big Ten, and he tries to psych me up, but usually he disses me in the middle. So I want to make sure I gave you a very good intro, one that you deserve. Your Buckeyes crushing it in every sport. I'm sure that's nice for you as well. But we have some action-packed stuff on the show today. Not a lot of news around the college football nation, but we wanted to talk a little bit about the Pac-12 because the Pac-12 is notorious for having some teams that probably should be good. They have some blue bloods. They're always kind of in the picture, but they're never quite there. So our question to the audience and what we're going to be talking about today is, when will the Pac-12 be relevant? What will it take for the Pac-12 to be relevant? And Jay, I'm curious, what are your initial thoughts? I mean, does it take a USC to finally break through? I mean, are there teams that are getting there? What is it going to take?
It's going to take, like how you said, USC, because when USC is dominant, it's easy for college football fans in the Midwest and the South, the North, wherever they are, to look out West and say, oh, wow, the Trojans are winning. Who is their quarterback? You look at the quarterback, you know who the quarterback is, and then things kind of follow down that way. USC is a big face, not just in the Pac-12, but of college football, and really the only team out West that has been a college football power their entire time that they have been playing college football. Yes, Washington has been good. Oregon has been good. But it all starts with USC. If USC is down like they have been over the past, 10 years since Pete Carroll has left, yes, Washington made a Rose Bowl. Oregon was there. Oregon was in, I think, a couple national championship games. It doesn't hold any weight until USC is right there at the top or back at the top. So I do think it starts with USC. They rise to the occasion. They raise their play. And I do think the other teams in the Pac-12 raise their play as well.
I couldn't agree more. It's interesting because when you look at some of the other conferences, right, the SEC, the Big 12, the Big 10, it's the same teams, even the ACC. Basically, every conference except for the Pac-12 has the exact same team at the top of the board. Now, you could say that Oregon might be one of those teams lately, but just the way they play, the style of football just doesn't really translate to playing against a powerhouse like Alabama or Clemson. But again, in the Big 10, it's Ohio State. Right, you just expect Ohio State to be the top team. And the ACC is Clemson. And the SEC, it's Alabama. I mean, these are the teams that are constantly going to be in that talk. And in the Pac-12, you just don't get that. You mentioned Washington. You mentioned Oregon. USC occasionally. I mean, we've even seen Washington State, Oregon State have a couple of years. UCLA. There's so many teams. Stanford went to the Rose Bowl a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
All these teams have had good seasons, but just not good enough. And it's so wishy-washy. Honestly, I feel like it kind of hurts the playoff committee when they try to decide these things, because these teams kind of come out of nowhere. It's not this team's always going to be good. So at the front of their mind, they're not thinking, oh, wow, USC's a top team. They're thinking, which team out of the Pac-12 is going to be solid? And are any of these teams good?
No, I'm right there with you. And I'm looking at the teams in the Pac-12 right now. Oregon State, I mean, we don't think about them at all. The bottom feeders in the Big Ten, ACC, the SEC, you still know who the head coach is. You know players on their teams. Now, maybe it may be East Coast bias, but even in the Big Ten, you know a few players. Now, you may not know players on Purdue if you're someone that's in Pac-12 country, but you may have heard of the name David Bell. There may be that one guy out there. You say, oh, I've heard about him. I never watched him play, but every time I see a highlight or two, he's doing big things. The Pac-12 hasn't had that, and I don't think it's because of them playing late or Pac-12 after dark. I love staying up late, and most people that like college sports, they're used to staying up until 10, 11, 12, 1 a.m. Eastern time. That's the normal. So I don't think Pac-12 after dark hurts them. I just think in the recruiting trail, they've hurt themselves and not recruiting the same caliber of players that other teams have.
That's interesting that you don't think that the time matters, because that actually was one of the big things I really felt like is a big issue, at least from a notoriety, right? When you look at, for example, I always go back to Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
And he was robbed of a Heisman Trophy. Mm-hmm. He was an amazing college football player. I saw him just tear apart an Iowa team that did work in the Big Ten going 12-0. He just made Iowa look like they were a junior college team, a ragtag bunch of junior college players, mm-hmm. and he didn't win the Heisman. And so to me, I do think that has something to do with the time slot, though, at least maybe not for us, right? Maybe not for college.
Yeah, football, true.
But for the people who are making the decisions, it does matter, because are they watching these games? And then I go back to the SEC bias. And I think we can kind of agree on this. There is some SEC bias mm-hmm. typically, and I'm going to piss. I
try to say East Coast, because I don't want to make anybody upset, but it is more SEC down that way.
I mean, so Keith Duncan should have won the Lou Gehrig. I'm gonna always drive this home. That's the hill I will always die on. I'll die on the hill for a kicker. Keith Duncan should have won the Lou Groza last year. And it went to Rodrigo Blankenship, who I'll forever hate because of that.
Oh, okay.
Now,
Georgia.
One of the voters literally told Keith Duncan it's harder to kick in the South because it's warm.
What?
That's what he said. Yeah, he said it's harder to kick in the South because it's warm. And Keith's like, do you realize I'm kicking in 20-degree weather with 20-mile-an-hour winds in the Midwest and snow, and I'm making all these field goals? And, like, some of the people literally told him they just never saw him kick a field goal. They never even watched him play. So, like, to me, it does matter. There's a little bit of bias, and then you have the Pac-12 playing such late games. Those guys don't stay up for those games. They don't even care. So I don't know. I think there has to be a little bit of that, right? And maybe not directly, but maybe indirectly, where you have – they're not seeing these guys play, so they're not getting the Heisman votes. So you're not getting the AP votes. And now recruits maybe aren't maybe going to those schools, but they can go to other schools. And while you kind of give your thoughts, I'm going to pull up some stats on the California recruiting rankings to see if there's any sort of bias with those rankings as well.
When it comes to the time, and I say that the time shouldn't really matter, or it may not, because when Oregon's good, you stay up to watch them play. If USC is good, I go back to Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush, that USC Trojan team when Pete Carroll was there. I believe they had Brian Cushing. I forget the other running back that was there behind with Reggie Bush, but they were a dog. They were a nasty tandem. You will stay up until, if you're a voter for the Heisman, you're staying up until 11, 12, 1 a.m. Eastern time just to get that, just to watch that game. Why? Well, one, USC was amazing to watch, but two, you wanted to see what type of fireworks Reggie Bush would light up on the field. So I understand how we get busier and time is very, very important. But at the same time, if you want to do something, I'm not a late night person, but if there's a game on late, I will do my best to stay up at least till halftime or the end of the third quarter. If it's really, really good, like USC games were back then, I'm watching the whole entire game because I want to. The voters, it's their obligation to want to stay up, to make sure that they properly do things, to make sure that they properly analyze every single player. I believe they're doing themselves a disservice by saying the time is an issue when before it wasn't an issue. It was just – it's what you got to do when you're a voter for Heisman and other awards that are out there.
Do you think it's – so is it – to me, it's kind of a chicken or egg thing. Do you feel like it's the fact that there aren't those dynamic players on the roster? Right? Like, I'm thinking about USC and the Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart areas. Those guys weren't playing at Pac-12 after dark. They were playing primetime,
yeah, good point.
6
good
p.m.
Point. That's a good point.
At a Midwestern time. Oregon, when they had, I mean, even Marcus Mariota, when they, I mean, a couple of their guys, LaMichael James, they had some ridiculously fast guys. Who was that quarterback for Oregon before Marcus Mariota?
Joey Harrington was like early 2000s.
Yeah, I'm thinking the really fast one, though. The super.
I don't know.
There was a couple there for a while, but Oregon was another team that had some dynamic playmakers where you're going to see some highlight plays until they were maybe getting a little bit more primetime action. But the other teams, though, they're just not getting a lot of primetime plays. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's not. I did look up I was curious, because when you look at, you know, hotbeds, right, you get Texas, you get Florida, and really it's California. And I was curious, are teams coming into California and poaching players? And honestly, what I found was not at all. When you look at the top 20 players there, the number 4 player went to Michigan, the number 5 player went to Notre Dame, 9 and 10 went to the SEC. And dude, everyone else in the top 20 went to a Pac-12 school, including eight or nine USC guys. So now is it a talent issue? Are they just not recruiting well? Is California maybe not as talented as we thought? I mean, what these are all conspiracy theories at this point, but what are your thoughts on that?
You know what's interesting about that? I listened to a podcast out there, and they're saying that other schools are coming in and getting these California guys, these SoCal guys. They're coming in and getting guys in California. But as you read off the rankings, the Pac-12 is getting them. So it's curious, is it the caliber of coaching that is there? Is the culture there? Is the culture at, say, a Texas who hasn't been good in a really long time? Is that culture there better than, say, a USC or a UCLA or a Stanford or Oregan or Washington? Who Washington, I think, should be really, really good every single year, but for some reason they can't put it together. I know they just lost their coach a couple years ago, so that's a damper, but they are a team. And if you go back into the 90s and 80s, they were a really good college football team. So it's interesting when you bring up the numbers and the rankings, because the national media says, one, playing late hurts you. Two, people are coming in to get those players in California. Maybe that's not true. Maybe it's the coaches that they're hiring. We see USC, they're making hiring debacles. I don't believe Clay Helton is a guy there at USC, but they won't let him go. I'm confused at that, but it's just interesting how when you bring that stuff out there, a couple things that other people are saying out there, not you and I, but other people out there, that maybe just might not be true.
Couldn't agree more. And that's, I didn't think I was going to prove myself wrong when I looked at that list. That was not my intent. I was actually hoping to show that everyone was coming in there and stealing guys, which clearly is not the case. I want to dive a bit more into that and then a little bit more about USC and can they be the next team? And then we have some awesome stuff. You know, who's the next team that's going to beat or win a national championship outside of an Alabama, outside of a Clemson? That's all coming up on a couple segments of the show. Before we get into that, though, maybe the Pac-12 just needs to build a little bit more Built Bars. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and clearly they need a little bit of help. Maybe they can grab one of the 18 amazing flavors to get themselves some power while also getting themselves a delicious candy bar they can taste. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. Jay, they are really delicious, but what about these health benefits, man? Tell me about the health benefits of a Built Bar.
Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And if you're a person that loves the keto diet, like my buddy Jason Wall, they're great for that diet as well.
I love it, man. And right now you can actually go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast at. And Jay, I'm sure you're probably going to be on Locked On Today at some point because the Ohio State Buckeyes are just crushing it in basketball. It's pissing me off. I think Iowa should have won that game, and then they just – credit to Ohio State. They played a phenomenal basketball game in that game, and it's really pissing me off. Can they just give it to anyone else, right? Can Ohio State just maybe let another team enjoy the riches of being good at something? I mean, is it nice being you and covering the Ohio State Buckeyes? Because I'm over here at Iowa thinking, man, this is supposed to be our team. This is supposed to be our year. What is going on?
Dude, man, it's so nice and easy when you have the football team play like they did. You have the basketball team playing like they have this year. Unfortunately, we didn't get the game against the team up north in football, but we do play the Wolverines this coming Sunday. But it make it easy, man, because I was prepared when the Buckeyes played Iowa to come out and be a little upset, be a little disgruntled because Ohio State lost the game. Then, lo and behold, Iowa found a way to give the game and let Ohio State win that one. So, yeah, it is easy. It's fun. I can't wait for the NCAA tournament, man, so we can really have some fun every weekend and back-to-back weekends watching a lot of college basketball.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to me because from a Big Ten perspective, the conference is considered the best. And I know this is not a basketball show, but the conference is considered the best in the nation and honestly one of the best ever that we've seen. Does that help them? It should help them. It should allow these teams to go pretty darn far. It'll be interesting to see how many Big Ten teams actually make it out of the first round, second round, and ultimately into the Sweet 16 to show the power of that conference. I mean, as an Iowa fan, I'm looking at this thinking, man, I hope it's just the Big Ten is so darn tough and that when they actually play other teams, they're going to just dominate them. But we will see, man. We will see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's one of those things, like in college football, the tougher conferences, those listeners to this podcast, the football conferences, when they are tough, sometimes you see that success in bowl games. Sure hoping for Andrew, you and I, and our sake, that we're seeing some of that success down the road. Imagine seeing a couple Big Ten matchups during the second weekend of the tournament. That'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh. If Iowa plays Illinois in the Big Ten tournament, or not the Big Ten tournament, in the NCAA tournament, there is going to be some bows, and it is going to be a aggressive game. You know what wasn't an aggressive game, though, was when Iowa took down USC in the Holiday Bowl 2 years ago, a year where USC seemed to be trending upwards. And we talked a little bit about this with the Pac-12 and the fact that we're trying to decide why is the Pac-12 struggling? And I think we can kind of agree, maybe you don't, but USC is really the team that has to come out of the Pac-12, right? They are that blue blood. They are the team that is equivalent to an Ohio State. They are the team that's equivalent to a Clemson. And I'm looking at their previous rankings and they've had a lot of hype in 2012. They were ranked number one going into the season. They finished unranked 7-6. Honestly, there's only been 1 year in the last 10 years where they haven't been ranked in the preseason poll, yet they haven't finished that high. In 2016, they did finish 3. They won the Rose Bowl, but that wasn't enough, right? They weren't able to make a national championship game. Is it USC then, or are there any other teams that could really make a push outside of maybe an Oregon for a national title in the Pac-12 anytime in the next 3 to 4 years?
It's really just three. To me, it's just three. Oregon, Washington, USC. That's it. I haven't seen one team. Well, Stanford maybe, but I think it's really just those three top-tier teams that everybody else kind of falls right behind them. That's really just going to be it, because those are the ones that have seen, that have shown the track record of having success and getting the national championship games. I don't see anybody else falling into that. One thing quickly that I think could help the Pac-12 get back into the national spotlight, get a lot of national attention. The CBS contract with the SEC is going to be up very, very soon. You're going to get a lot of conferences throwing a lot of money at CBS because they want to get that spotlight, the Big Ten on CBS or the Pac-12 on CBS. Well, the Big Ten's already, basically, they've already wrapped up with ESPN and FS1 and Fox. It's going to be kind of, I could see them trying to go to CBS. That's a lot more money. And what they've invested in Fox, it's worth it. They put out a good product. You could be the spotlight, the biggest game of the weekend, the only game on CBS. And it's at 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific. So it's not one of those 9 or 10 a.m. in the morning West Coast local time kickoffs. It's the normal 12 noon kickoff that they're used to already, not late in the day. And it's on a network where you're going to get top broadcasters highlighting your biggest game of the weekend. And everybody is already used to watching it, so that it's not like you're going to be having to pull eyeballs to a channel that they're not used to going to. I do think CBS and Pac-12, if they make something work, that's a great way to get more eyeballs on that conference.
I couldn't agree more. And that was one of the reasons why Larry Scott, the former commissioner of the Pac-12, was inexplicably, he's gone, right? And there's a reason for that. You can get into a lot of things, but I think the biggest thing was he was not able to bring that notoriety to the Pac-12 conference like people thought he could do. But securing a contract like that can be huge. I think about Notre Dame, for example. The reason why they don't go to a conference is because they want to bring in the money for themselves and because they have a contract right with NBC. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of friends in the Midwest who are Notre Dame fans. And I like to, you know, call them fair weather fans and make fun of them all I want. But when you break it down, a lot of it's because they only had access to public television. Yep. And Notre Dame was on NBC every freaking Saturday. Mm-hmm. And that was a team they love. Now imagine a kid growing up and always seeing the Pac-12 play. You're going to start having a generation of kids who maybe want to go over to the West Coast, in which personally, I don't understand what's wrong with the West Coast. I don't know why kids don't want to go to Arizona State. I don't know why kids don't want to go to Arizona. The experience is definitely one of the top-notch experiences. I believe me, I have some family down in Arizona and Mill Ave is crazy, but none of them want to go there. So maybe the contracts, maybe the TV contracts are what can help them. That'll be interesting. Jay, I'm curious though, USC, Oregon, you know, those are the teams that we feel like could maybe make a national championship game at some point. And we've seen Oregon do it in the past couple of years, probably about 8 years ago, I believe, under Marcus Mariota. We've seen USC do it in the past. But what are some other schools that could make a run at a national championship? Because it's really just been a lot of the SEC and Alabama and Clemson. I know LSU snuck in there. They had a phenomenal team. Who would have saw Joe Burrow doing what he did? Joe Brady was a fantastic offensive coordinator. I mean, it was just all the stars aligned. So my question to you is, what is the next team where the stars will align and can actually take down the Goliaths in Alabama and Clemson?
Ooh, tough question. There's so many good schools out there, so many good teams out there. I'm looking at some rankings right now. You have, I'm just going to name random schools, not one in particular. You got Notre Dame, that could do it. You got the Aggies with Jimbo Fisher, who could do it. You got the Florida Gators. But if I had to pick one, just one team, the first team that comes into my mind that could do it outside of those two, and I won't pick the school that I host the podcast of, so I'm taking that outside of the picture, the Oklahoma Sooners. I do think that whatever Lincoln Riley is doing down there, that he's getting those guys to believe inside of what he's preaching. I do think he's one of those coaches, and he's probably next in line, especially with Spencer Rattler and the defense, as the defense is playing better. Now, your typical Big 12 defense, I do think the Oklahoma Sooners could be the next to win a national title.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I want to touch on that more, but the Oklahoma Sooners have been an interesting team to bet on. Last year, if you wanted to bet on them against, I think it was Kansas State, and they lost to Kansas State, you probably lost a ton of money. You could have won a lot of money, though, if you would have bet on Oklahoma to lose against Kansas State. I believe the odds were just absolutely absurd. And the best place to do that is betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, so you can't bet on the Oklahoma Sooners football team right now, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline.ag even covers awards, TV shows, and reality television. Real-time updated odds and props from almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline.ag has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head to BetOnline.ag, either use your website or go to your mobile device and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Use that promo code LOCKEDON and get that 50% welcome bonus today at BetOnline.ag. 2020 is mercifully over, and it's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcast at. And before we took a quick break, Jay, we were talking about Oklahoma. You didn't want to take Ohio State, which I can appreciate that. I think that would have been an easy choice. I am curious about, what before we get to Oklahoma, because I do believe you are right. I think that's the next team that could make the step. I don't like Spencer Rattler as a person, but I think he is a phenomenal quarterback.
Oh, I'm right there with you, man. I don't.
Yeah. Did you watch QB1?
I did, and that's where he was in that. It was like Tate Martell, number one, is like most annoying. Spencer Rattler, number two, is most annoying that was on that show.
Okay, I want to dive into that a little bit more because I have a different opinion on Tate. But real quick, you didn't pick Ohio State. Ohio State doesn't return a lot of production, and honestly, their defense kind of sucked this year. Do you think they have is this the year Ohio State falls off? I don't mean that to be a jerk, but I'm just curious.
I wouldn't say now I'm going to be
falling
realistic.
Off a tough word. I mean, like maybe lose two games.
No, I would think maybe lose one in the regular season. I don't know who that may be. I don't think it'll be Oregon with Oregon having a new quarterback, just like Ohio State. I think the one issue that Ohio State's going to have as far as newcomers, you mentioned that their production defensively, they're losing Jonathan Cooper. They're losing all three of their starting linebackers and their first linebacker who's off the bench, who was a senior and a captain, he's going to get drafted. That's how good he was. Losing Sean Wade, they're losing a lot of talent on the defensive side of the ball. And I think replacing those linebackers, I forget who the week one opponent is, but that game against Oregon is going to be very, very tough. Granted, it's in Columbus, so they're not having to go to Oregon to go to Eugene for the game, but that game is going to be very, very tough because you're playing a team that's already really, really hungry, they embarrassed themselves last year by some of the way that they played. And they're coming into your home and saying, look, new season. Hopefully that the horseshoe is half full by that time. So we're coming in to show everybody. Now, we know what Ohio State is as a program, what it can be this year. But we have something to prove right now. And one thing that aids Oregon is they have a new quarterback. that Ohio State doesn't have film on. Yes, Ohio State has a new quarterback as well, but Oregon's guy, I'm just telling you, the name doesn't pop into my head, but they have a good track record of developing quarterbacks. And I do think that game, Buckeyes will probably win, but people will say, oh, Ohio State's more human than expected. But I will probably say one loss, not to the Wolverines. I don't think that's going to happen next year. I think Jimbo may actually get fired after next year by the way that he plays. But it maybe it's one of those like Urban Meyer hiccup games where it's in Iowa back at that time when Ohio State should have beat Iowa. And then all of a sudden,
what a Iowa, game.
Yeah, Iowa. What a game. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, man, that makes sense. And I don't think Jim Harbaugh is going to beat Ohio State anytime soon. No. That makes sense. And I want to get into Oklahoma real quick, but I also pulled up the entire list of QB1 quarterbacks I just really want to touch on. Oklahoma returned 78% of their offense, 75% of their defense, and a quarterback playing in the system now for 3 years. Spencer Rattler came on late in the year. I thought the defense was really strong. And Lincoln Riley is a phenomenal coach. Oklahoma has been right on the cusp the last couple of years, but I do think this is the year. Alabama, they lose some guys, right? I mean, you lose, granted, they're going to reload. That's not a problem. Clemson, they lose some guys as well. Trevor Lawrence, when you lose the number one overall quarterback, one of the best quarterback prospects in the last 10 years. I know DJ Ungalali, I'm going to butcher his name, played well, but that's still a big loss for, you know, Clemson losing Travis Etienne. Those are big losses across the board. Does Oklahoma slip up or, you know, step up and take that spot? I think they personally can. And Spencer Rattler, he was on QB1, and QB1 is a phenomenal show. I don't know when the heck they're going to drop season 4. I'm getting a little bit pissed off by it, but let's rank those quarterbacks real quick. So you thought Tate Martell is the worst quarterback. Would that be accurate? He's the
most annoying. That was okay. The word I used, most annoying. In college, he is the worst because he can't stay on a team. I mean, he left Ohio State, went down to Miami, hasn't been seen there in Miami at all, and all of a sudden, he's transferring. Are you going to go? I'm not trying to be funny. Is he going to go to a JUCO? No, he can't go to a JUCO. He's too old.
He's going to Nevada or UNLV.
Are you serious? That's oh, back home. That's where he's – I think he's from Cali, but his family moved to Vegas, I think. So, I mean, it makes sense. We go back home to mom and dad. Like, I'm not trying to, like, make light of the situation by him moving. But, yeah, I think his ego is too good. And if he would have changed positions and altered, that may have been better for him. Good. But that's all I'm going to say. I could go on about that guy.
All right. So, if you had to rank him, who are your three least favorite quarterbacks from QB1?
Well, the only thing I could remember that were that bad, it was Tate Martell and Spencer Rattler. I can't remember the other guys' names. I know Jake Fromm was on there. There was a guy that went to Iowa State. He was on there.
Real Mitchell.
I can't remember all the other ones, but just one, two most annoying were Tate Martell and Spencer Rattler. Yeah, didn't Rattler get benched in that as well? I know one of the quarterbacks got lost their spot.
Oh, Real Mitchell got benched to DJ, actually, from Clemson. DJ, the quarterback for Clemson next year.
Are you serious?
Was the backup quarterback to Real Mitchell, and Real Mitchell couldn't complete a freaking 5-yard pass, so they put in DJ, and then they did fine. And also, Real Mitchell goes to Iowa State, loses his job. He didn't have a job. Loses to Brock Purdy and transfers to Temple. I thought that was really interesting. Yeah, honestly, Tate Martell, my issue with Tate was that he seemed cocky, but not like a jerk. He wasn't like mean to people. And it felt like
that is true.
Like he was definitely cocky and a jerk and whatever to in general, like life-wise, you could probably but not mean to people. I really thought Spencer Rattler was just a cock to everyone. I mean, he acted like he was God's gift to earth and was so rude to everyone on his team. I'm like, how could you like this guy? I don't know. I Spencer Rattler is a very tough guy to like. I have a buddy who works within the Oklahoma football program, and I'm not going to say his name, but he also doesn't have the best things to say about Spencer Rattler. Also had nothing good to say about Jalen Hurt either. So I thought that was really interesting.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. He said that honestly, he thought Jalen Hurt was a lot worse than Spencer Rattler in terms of attitude and personality.
Oh, wow. That's
hot take.
That's an eye opener right there.
Yeah, definitely interesting. Well, Jay, we covered about anything you possibly can on this Wednesday morning episode of the Locked On College Football podcast, diving deep into QB1, a phenomenal show. Anything you want to say before we wrap up the show today, man?
Absolutely. You mentioned QB1. Last chance you was coming back, I believe, on March 10th. It'll be a JUCO college basketball team, not the football variety right now, is coming back right before the NCAA tournament. So we get to binge watch a TV show while watching some college basketball in the conference tournaments and then get all that in right before the NCAA tournament does start in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay, then you had to do it. I had to tee this up then. Who do you hate more? From Last Chance U, do you hate Mississippi State? Or not Mississippi State. What is it's I can't remember his name. But do you hate JB? Jason Brown, or do you hate the Mississippi coach more?
Oh, Jason Brown, dude. His ego. You guys will learn. I don't like people with big egos. And I think his ego and the way that he talked and just reacted to people was just a guy that, like, he may be a good interview. I don't know. I know a guy that interviewed him, haven't listened to it. I just think that his head is just way too big, and there's nothing you can do to bring him back down to earth.
That's fair. And the other guy was Buddy Stevens from East Mississippi Community College, which, by the way, fun fact, I actually went to East Mississippi Community College to say hi to the stadium. I just had to. I was driving down for the Senior Bowl. We saw Scuba, went over there, saw it. Definitely an impressive stadium. I struggle with it. I do agree. His ego is incredibly large, but I feel like he cared more about his players than Buddy Stevens did at East Mississippi. And I know that's a tough thing to say because I don't think either of them really gave a crap about their players, but it seemed to me like Jason Brown did truly care about the development of the players as people, but had a really broken home way of showing it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good assessment. I think it's bad that Jason Brown was in a way and acting in a way that he ended up losing his job because it sucks. You never want to see somebody lose their job for anything. I don't care if it's the worst thing in the world. You never want to see somebody get fired and lose the income that they had. I think he really enjoyed coaching. It's yeah. Just his style was one that was hard to grasp and hard to buy into from certain players. Yeah.
He crossed a lot of lines. So, I mean, I think, agree, I don't want anyone to be fired, but I think the firing was deserved. But I do believe my thing was, like, Buddy Stevens just seemed like a jerk who was like, I'm just going to get rich taking advantage of these players who need an opportunity. I don't know. I don't like Buddy Stevens at all.
Yeah, it's your taste. I could go for you. The one, if they were my coach, I would respect them on the field. Off the field, when I talk crazy to them or try to talk trash in their face, that's not me. That's not my style. But they might get a dirty look or two every now and then because I can't say things. I can look at you any way that I want to.
Yeah, man. I just thankfully I wasn't good enough to play for college football with them at all, but I wouldn't have played for either of them. Jay, it has been an absolute blast. I don't even know how we got onto Last Chance U topic, but always a blast to you, man. Where can the folks find you at on Twitter and all the places?
At JStevens07, that is Stevens spelled with the PH, and J is spelled J-A-Y, the host of Locked on Buckeyes. I almost forgot the name of the podcast that I host every Monday through Friday. Search Locked on Buckeyes on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, all those good places. Also the host of the J. Stevens podcast, little basketball talk. I interviewed a beat writer for Gonzaga Basketball. That episode will be dropping on Thursday morning.
I love it, man. You can follow me, Andrew Wade, at Locked On Iowa. We're on Twitter dropping episodes for the Locked On Hawkeyes every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll be back in the Locked On College Football podcast next Wednesday, but we got shows dropping every single day this week from all the great hosts across the college football landscape at Locked On Sports Network. Have a fantastic day, y'all, and we just love ourselves in college football.